How does one stand for the Lord when everyone else falls away? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host for our discussion today. And our topic is Caleb, Living with the Weight, part of our series, Background Characters of the Old Testament. My conversation partners are two members of the Walla Walla University School of Theology, Dave Thomas, Dean of our School of Theology, and Paul Dibdall, Associate Professor of Mission and New Testament. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, let's take that question and look at an experience of Caleb, maybe just a brief synopsis of what Caleb's experience was like. He and Joshua were the two faithful spies who went into the land of Canaan. When they came back, they said, "We can do it. These are big and strong and tough people, but we can do it." The other 10 spies simply said, "Oh, it's way too catastrophic. Those are huge giants. We can't do it." What was it that made it possible for Caleb to stand against the flow when everybody else was falling away? He simply said, "We can do it. Let's move ahead." Do you men have any suggestions there that would help us understand this?
I don't know. The story doesn't pinpoint for us what it was exactly about Caleb that led to this this sort of faithful report. Faithful isn't even the right word. This positive report that we can do it with the Lord's help. We can do it. We just have it recorded for us. So I don't know what it was. Was it something about his personality? Something about his trust in God. I guess I would tend to think that that was it.
See, some people think it might just be that he was optimistic, but I don't think optimism necessarily has this kind of substance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fascinating question that you raise, Alden, I think, is that what is it that goes on inside certain human beings that enable them to be tenacious and trusting, you know, that they're willing to accept the word of God, the invitation of God, and through thick and thin, whether they're by themselves or whether they are with a lot of people, they are not turned to one side or the other. I tend to link it to some sense of integrity or even a sense of conscience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this is a shining example of that. I remember Paul talked about a guy once who took his stand in the middle of a lentil field. And I thought that was a powerful story, too, that he said, "This is where I am, and this is my place." Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the battle, he, for whatever reason, defended that. I don't know what that is, but I think it'd be good to figure it out.
Now, Caleb was consistent all the way through, as far as we can tell. Are there any examples in Scripture, and this is a scary question to toss out, can you think of any biblical examples where someone who was wishy-washy then took a stand and was consistent from there on out? Can you think of any examples like that?
Well, I was, as you started that question, I thought of Gideon, but that story doesn't work because he wasn't faithful all the way through to the end.
Uh-huh.
And needed a lot of help all along the way, actually.
Yeah.
So I don't know, are you thinking of someone, Alden? Or?
Well, you know, you mentioned Gideon. That strikes me as very interesting because you also see a contrast between Caleb and Gideon, in that Gideon was willing to trust what God said.
Caleb was willing to trust
what God said, but Gideon wanted some signs. And it's a source of endless fascination that after he got his first sign, he immediately wanted a second one. Mm-hmm. And there, I think, is a contrast between those who trust God by faith and those who have to have signs along the way, that signs don't really help us in faithful living.
Mm. I'm thinking, a name that comes to mind is Paul, but Paul was very consistent. He just changed direction.
Yeah, that's right. No, Paul was always 100%, it seems to me.
He just was headed the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about Peter. Peter was always impassioned, so maybe there wasn't any change in Peter.
There are some people who were at one point consistent who went away. I think of Demas in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's come back to Caleb's story then and look at another incident. When Caleb and Joshua said, "We can go," and the other spies said, "We can't," the people erupted and said, "Well, let's elect a leader and head back for Egypt." Okay, so the Lord recognized this and said, all right, you people will not go into the land of Canaan. Go back and wander in the wilderness. At that point, when God said you can't go on any further, the people rose up and said, we're ready to go in.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, how in the world do you deal with fickle people like that? When the Lord says go, they say we will stay. And when the Lord says stay, we want to go. Now, does Caleb's story help us to deal with those kinds of people?
I don't know if it helps us to deal with them, except to just demonstrate that it's been that way all through history. that's the way people are. We tend to be fickle. There's something contrary about us, I think.
Although I wonder. No, I mean, I think sometimes people do process things between the let's go and let's not go. But I don't think that really applies to this story because of the outcome when they charged off to go on their own. The real issue here, I think, was their willingness to follow God or not.
And it's very interesting. When they did charge off, it says the ark wasn't with them. Now, we have a later story, the time of Hophni and Phinehas, when they thought bringing the ark would solve all their problems. So they went and got the ark. And that ended up being catastrophic as well. Mm-hmm. So just having the symbol of the Lord's presence may not work.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But the dynamics that surround groups of people is fascinating. You know, people can be so disciplined and work in a cooperative way, or they can be a mob.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, mob activity is very, very scary. It's very chaotic. Coordinated activity by human beings can be marvelous. You know, when I travel around here, I like trains, and I notice all these cuttings where railroads run. And most of those, you know, were cut by hand.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them by Chinese laborers. And to think that whole railroad beds across this country were done by coordinated human effort. In one case, people laid 12 miles of track in one day, all with just human labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's astonishing. But if cooperative effort is in harmony with the will of God, then I think it's something beautiful.
Mm. Now, there's one other story, well, a couple of other stories here that we could mention with Caleb. One, when they got into the land of Canaan and they were apportioning out the various parcels of land, Caleb says, give me the toughest nut to crack. Now, he's getting ancient. He says, but my strength is unabated. I want the hardest one.
He takes the hill country.
Why do you call it the hardest one, though, Alden? Maybe he wanted a view out over the Mediterranean or something. I mean,
well, the biblical account suggests that it was because it was the toughest one.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you read there, he says,
farming in the hills is tough.
No, the Anakim are still there. The giants are still there, see. So he was saying, you know, this is what scared us when we came before. I'm still not scared.
Yeah.
Give it to me. And that's one reason why I suppose I think the inspirational value of someone like Caleb is just huge.
Yeah.
He's not afraid, and he just moves ahead.
Yeah.
So how does one not be afraid? I guess from many, many years of following after God and seeing the faithfulness of God caused him to be without fear.
I suppose. You see, when you look at the people of Israel, God said, everyone's going to fall except Caleb and Joshua. Everyone's going to die in the wilderness except Caleb and Joshua. That's got to be a fairly sobering commendation. But boy, he was straight as an arrow all the way through.
But I do think there is something about following God for many years. I mean, you think of John the Revelator, who became so dangerous to the political authorities because of his faithful following of God. Even when they tried to destroy him, God prevented that, and so they exiled him. You know, I've been inspired for a long time by the last few words of Polycarp when he's in his 80s and they come to get him, you know, to tell him to worship the emperor or die. And he said, this is not a very difficult decision. He says, God has been faithful to me for these 84 years. He said, I'm not changing my mind now. And that's the end. See, there is something about a lifelong following after God that I think embeds things in people's lives. And that's what I think may be at work here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, when it comes to the kinds of stories that we would want to tell our children, now this is of these background characters that we're looking at for these next 3 months. Caleb is one that stands out to me, even though the scripture doesn't say a lot about him. I think that's certainly one that's very positive. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one other aspect here, and this one takes us down a little bit of a side trail. When the people were coming into the land of Canaan, Caleb said, if there's anybody that's willing to take this place, I will give you my daughter as a reward. I will give my daughter as a wife to the bravest man. Now, Paul, you've got a daughter. Mm-hmm. Would you be inclined to use that approach?
Well, I'd like for her to marry a brave man. But no, I wouldn't use the same sort of approach. No. You know, this is the beauty, I suppose, the joy and the challenge of these Old Testament stories. They're Old Testament stories. They took place in a different time, a different place, and there are so many different cultural expectations that it helps to make the stories fascinating to us, but then also sometimes even a bit puzzling. But certainly at that time, this is an appropriate thing for him to do, and but not something that we would likely transfer directly and seek to apply.
But Paul, there are large portions of the world today, sure, that would understand this story very clearly because their family structures are still patriarchal.
Absolutely.
And so this would be not a surprise at all. This would be very, very, yeah, clearly understood.
But it wouldn't need to be explained.
No.
Yeah. In many cultures today.
Well, and of course, Dave, you spent some time, a fair bit of your life in Africa, and I remember what Philip Jenkins told us when he was here, that today, he says, the Old Testament walks right off the page into the life,
sure,
of
yeah. In Africa, this would, sure, not be a strange story at,
yeah,
all.
And, yeah, and parts of, many parts of Asia as well.
Yeah. And of course, the one disadvantage we have when you lose a sense of authority there, even though I'm a strong egalitarian, I think that one loses something when you do not have figures that you can actually look up to and respect as your leaders. So that's one of the things. But Caleb certainly was a great man. Now, next week, we're going to look at a great woman, Hannah, learning to be someone. But our time is up for today. I want to thank both of you, Dave and Paul, for being my conversation partners. And also my thanks to Chad Ofterhauer, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.